got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And here's the other thing, is that there's certain things that guys just know. Guys, it's okay to be, you know, jealous or to be a little envious, because that's a totally acceptable guy emotion. See, guys are much more honest and open about their emotions than women are. Women always say, incorrectly, by the way, women always claim that guys don't display emotions openly, and that guys, just because then we don't sit around and have crying jags.
Oh, come on.
You know, no, seriously, just because we don't sit and, I don't know, sit around in groups with, like, hankies and coffee and Oprah books talking about, you know, what happened to us when we were five and our dad wouldn't buy us a pony. Women think that men don't have any emotions. Men totally have their emotions. It's just that they're a lot more, they're compartmentalized. So, whereas women will be jealous or envious of a friend, and women will never tell you, they'll just seethe. Like, women will never tell you anything. They'll just sit and seethe and sulk and let it, like, fester up. Whereas guys will just say the emotion openly, and then the emotion's gone, and it's been sort of deflated, so it doesn't become this huge thing. So, Gabe, this guy we were just talking to who's going to get hooked up with the threesome, of course, his guy friend is going to be jealous. Of course, you know, your boys have the three-way going on. You're going to be jealous. You're going to be envious. But you'll just be real upfront about it. You'll go, dude, that is so righteous. I wish that would happen to me. Dude, you are the luckiest SOB ever. Why can't I get some of that love? And, you know, you say it, and therefore, you know, then it doesn't have to sit and smolder. The guy just is honest about his jealousy, and then he move on. Like, yeah. When your friend of yours scores tickets, you know, front row seats at the Blazers or something, you just go, dude, that is great. I wish that had happened to me. And then it's just out there, and you don't have to dwell on it anymore.
Oh, you guys, you're just so good.
No, it's not that. It's just guys are a lot more honest. Guys are more honest than women are. It's just that guys don't talk in code the way women do. And guys don't make other guys pry emotions out of them.
You know, like when, come on, no, like get when back to that.
No, I'm just saying, like when your girlfriend comes and won't tell you, a guy will always say, what's up? Oh, no, I'm just drunk and depressed. You know, they're always completely honest about that. So hopefully tomorrow we'll have either the cousin or the cousin's friend on.
I want to know, though, how many, kind of like, well, you asked it before about what number in line he is. Like, either they've already asked a whole bunch of people, or they've already actually done a bunch of other guys.
So they're serial threesomers. What does he care?
Well, yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
He could get AIDS or something. I just want to tell Gabe he better have the condoms and stuff ready.
Well, I think he should anyways.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, but not everybody does.
Thank you, Sievert Coop. I think that kind of goes without saying, first of all. Secondly, here's what it is. You're worrying about how many threesomes have these girls done beforehand is like Tim saying, I don't want that Mercedes. Ian already had it. And Lars Larson before
hardly,
him.
Hardly.
It's exactly what it is.
No, it isn't.
The hell do you care? It's a classic.
I'm a woman.
Vintage.
I like to worry.
It's a great car. It doesn't matter who's ridden in it before. All that matters, you're riding in it now.
Well, if there's stains or something on it.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about stains. All I'm saying is, guys don't worry about that stuff. Guys don't care who you've been with beforehand.
Oh, well, they should.
Unless you've slept with, like, their best friend or their brother or something. You
know, well, maybe he already did the...
You know, with some other guy, who cares? Well, everybody's got a pass.
The only time guys care is when... And because some women will do this. Here's a thing that some women will do ill-advisedly. Where women will feel the need, because they do this with other women, to tell guys about certain sexual proclivities of other guys they've dated. Like, you know, there's that old joke about, the woman's with the guy she's sleeping with, boyfriend or whatever, and it's like, you know, Kinnison, you still have the time, but you're in bed with the guy. Well, I'm sure glad you're not a sick bastard like my last boyfriend. You know what he liked to do?
Girls totally do that.
Yeah, but do that to other girls. We don't want to know. I don't want to know about some guy, you know, was like, like bending you over a swing set somewhere. I don't need to know. I don't know the no. And then one time we were flying TWA, and the blanket was really big and roomy, and so it's like I'm gonna pass on that. I just don't need to know about that. I don't care if you've been with other guys. I don't care how many guys you've been with. I don't need to know about relative sizes. I don't need to know about relative perversion scales. It's just one of those things I don't need to know about. So, you know what it's like? Here's what it's like. This is exactly what it's like. It's like when you're in a restaurant and they bring you your meal. Well, you know, somebody else ate off that plate about an hour before. They took it in the back, washed it, dried it, brought it back to you. When you're in a restaurant, somebody else had that fork in their mouth. somebody else had that knife in their mouth. Somebody else's lips were on that glass. But they've cleaned it, they washed it, they dried it, they brought it back, and now I don't need to worry about it.
Oh,
all
man.
I care about is that, you know, they cleaned it between lips. You know what I mean?
If you only knew.
I'm just saying. All right, so we'll find out hopefully more about that tomorrow. It's Jolie from the front desk. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
207 Tim Riley with news brought to you by the WB32. Portland Wrestling is back this Saturday night at 11 o'clock on the WB32. Watch the historic return of Portland Wrestling. That's Saturday night, 11 o'clock on Portland's WB32. Well, we have our first traffic fatality in the new year happened moments ago in North Portland. Three vehicles collided there, killing one person. A person in a little car got mushed by an SUV.
God happened at
North Cook near Vancouver Avenue, right next to Emmanuel. Then we have another death aboard a cruise ship. This one's a bit mysterious. A member of the band employed by the Queen of the West cruise ship died on board on New Year's Day. The OSP says the 23-year-old male was found unconscious in a shower. Maybe he turned on the hot water too high or something like that. When the body was discovered, the ship was heading downriver east of the Dalles Dam. They tried to send an ambulance to meet the ship, but it was too late. Well, enough about death. Let's talk about life. To say that Portland's first baby of the year arrived early may be an understatement. Little Hayden Schnell made his debut 3.5 hours early. His parents were set to go out and celebrate on New Year's Eve, but little Hayden had plans of his own.
Just doing things around the house, and my water broke. So I called.
What a pleasant expression that is.
Doctor's office, and spoke with the nurse, and she said, you know, come in. And
it was one of those things where we kind of half expected to come back home after we'd gotten there. But they said, no, you need to stay.
You know, doesn't the whole notion of, this is a reason 790 why I don't have children. Just the whole notion of I'm not a neat freak, but I guess I'm just too easily grossed out by some stuff. You know what I mean? Like the whole business of the water breaking. What, I just don't need to be around that. I don't need to. I can skip that. That's one of those things my life is going to be complete without. Like that and a colonoscopy. I just don't need to be exposed to either of those things.
Well, here's a little problem for Garfield, Virginia. Their first New Year's baby has two moms. We'll be hearing more on this in the coming days. Helen Rubin gave birth, and her partner, who's 35 years old, sat there and watched. So we don't know what the baby's name is there.
Good.
Say, how would you like to pay for airline food? American West thinks you will. It's called Buy On Board. You'll be offered the opportunity, they call this an opportunity, to buy meals, starting from a $3 snack box to a $10 chicken Kiev. Now, they plan to sell food on a dozen flights a day. What they're going to do, since I guess people aren't that smart, is they'll give you pictures of the food when you board the plane.
This thing just grunts and point.
And you get to make the choice. So what does the competition think? Well, Northwest says it's studying the idea. American Airlines says it has no plans to sell food. They'll just continue to give it away as they always have.
Great, because airline food is such a treat. That's something we're all really...
$10 for airline food.
You know, even when you fly first class, which I've only done a couple of times in my life. Here's the only times I've ever flown first class when I was on my way to being told they weren't going to hire me for some job. Those are the only first class trips I've ever taken. Like when I was going to Wisconsin, you know, I flew out there so they could go, no. And then they sent me back coach, of course. That was when I applied at W, whatever the hell it was, in Wisconsin. Fly me first class, tell me to F off, send me back coach. I'm surprised they didn't put me with, like, the dog kennels, you know, in the luggage hold. So on the way out there, I got the full-on, you know, lasagna and whatever, the full-on meal with the asparagus and butter. And then I got these chips. They weren't potato chips. They were, like, tomato chips. Have you ever had those? It's like tomato sliced real thin, fried, salted. It was like tomato chips. And on the way back, what do I get? Peanuts. Here you go, peanuts. Not even with the caramelized candy coating, just peanuts.
Well, here's a little tip for ordering food next time you fly. Order whatever they have for the vegetarian plate. You'll get more. Your fellow passengers will be jealous, and you'll spend hours just trying to eat it.
Excellent.
Yep. Hugh Grant is in a new film entitled 2 Weeks Notice. He was asked if there are days when he doesn't want to be witty.
Oh, God, yeah, every day I feel very much that way. If I'm on a really, really shankingly bad form, it'll make me angry.
Shankingly bad. I'll start working that in.
And then I can give really bitter and twisted and unpleasant interviews. And I think I may have given a few the other day, actually.
God, he is so cocky and sexy.
Yeah, but chicks dig him. Can I just tell you that?
His haircut? Oh, man.
You know, Laura was going on and on about Hugh Grant.
Well,
last
About
night
a Boy about, is a great movie.
Sex machine.
So well in it.
Yeah, okay. I always figured that chicks wouldn't dig him because he's so foppish. You know, he's just. Because he never plays like a type A. You know, he never plays the alpha male. He always plays some guy who's getting a snot kicked out of him or who is a loser or who is hapless. He plays these sort of Woody Allen characters all the time.
That's definitely his appeal, though.
Is that he's a loser
in
movies?
Not a loser, but he's always kind of the underdog. And no. I think that, you know, the sympathetic side of women can agree with that.
The best role that Hugh Grant ever had was when he played in Bridget Jones's Diary. Because he was just like, he was this player. He was totally just this smooth operator. And he pulled it off well, because he's such a smug, smirky bastard. You know, I mean, he's a good actor and all, but he's just such a slippery weasel.
Well, have you seen About a Boy?
The Nick Hornby thing? I'm waiting to read the book
first.
Yeah.
No, he plays a similar character to the one he played.
Yeah, where he's totally an operator.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, Lana was going on and on about... We were having this, something. We were trying to determine... We were having a big discussion about types. Like, who is your type? And we were trying to figure out the definitive person that is each of our types. And I think I ended up at the... We ended up at Tiffany Amber Thiessen for me, and then she was like right there on the dividing line between Adam Duritz from The Counting Crows and Hugh Grant, who would seem to be about as far away from each other as you could possibly get. But it ended up, she just went on just rhapsodizing on and on about Hugh Grant for no readily apparent reason. Anyway.
Oh, I was just talking to Sarah. She stopped by to say hello. I'm sorry.
Well, great.
Anyway, another one from Hugh. He says... His career as a stage actor was torpedoed when he just couldn't stop giggling.
I've always had a very bad giggling problem. It's why I had to give up the theater, because if I got a laugh, it made me laugh. I was so delighted. I used to laugh uproariously on the stage. So I've always had that problem, and I've never come across anyone who had a worse problem until I met Sandy.
I think that's Sandy Bullock he's talking about. It's a new movie. Oh, we got something else here. Highway 202 is closed. High water has forced ODOT to close the Nehalem Highway at 2 points south of Astoria. One closure is at milepost 3 at Crozel Creek. The other is near milepost 6. It is to prevent people from drowning. Please cooperate. Don't run the barriers out there.
Yeah.
Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Rain increasing. Highs in the 50s. Rain likely tonight. Lows near 50 and radiant breeze tomorrow. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom. Live around the world at KOTK.com. Made possible by Budget Computers, home of the $200 laptop.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Subject line, one girl you don't want to be with. Dude, what the hell are you... About 80% of my email starts with dude, by the way. Sometimes D-O-O-D. Dude, what the hell are you talking about? You don't care who the girl has been with in the past? It's true, to a point. But I've got one name for you. Carmen Electra. Do you really want to go where Dennis Rodman has been? I think not. Later, Mike. Yeah, I got to say, that's not really a concern for me. Carmen Electra is kind of odd to me just because she's so... It's like the Pam Anderson thing. She's all just sort of plasticked out. I mean, she's hot. I mean, I do her. Don't get me wrong. I do her. I'm just saying that Carmen Electra is weird. She's like some... Carmen Electra is like some fembot. Do you know what I mean? Where she's just like way too perfect. And she's the worst actress. I know that kind of goes without saying. But Carmen Electra's just... She can't even do voiceovers well. Like, I was watching that show, that A&E thing about cleavage, that whole... We were talking about a couple weeks ago, that whole cleavage documentary in A&E, and Carmen Electra's doing the voiceover, and it's just so wooden. Just so wooden and badly done. But the big deal for me is not that she's been with Dennis Rodman, but that she slept with, what's his name, with Fred Durst. I think once Fred Durst has slept with a woman, that's a woman I can never be with again. Because, you know why that is, too? Let me talk to you about this. Because that's the whole Office Space thing. Where it's like, you know, you're trying to have relations with a woman, and you're just seeing Fred Durst with that stupid backward baseball cap going, yeah, that'd be, can you move your leg to the left? That'd be great. You know, and that's, Fred Durst is somebody who's like a deal killer for me. But I think when you've got to reach some point when you're Carmen Electra, you've got to acknowledge that they've slept with everybody. Like, do you expect that there's anybody on planet Earth that Madonna hasn't slept with by now? I mean, just us, the people in this room, that's it. And she probably slept with somebody here. Just the law of averages dictates that she porked somebody here at the station. It's not me. Maybe it was Sarah or somebody. Maybe it was Matt. I don't know. Matt seems to get all the honeys. I'm just saying, you got to assume that Carmen Electra's kind of been
everybody. She showed up. I sent her home. Madonna's just not my look.
I'm not going to go anywhere. Prince is gone. That's what that's all about. Let's see. We got this from David. Rick, who cares what they look like or what type they are? It's like generic beer. It's what's inside the can that counts. Oh. I don't want to think about what's inside the can. By the way, that does prompt this question, though, about generic beer. Here's a couple things about generic beer. First of all, do they still make generic beer, or has generic beer been supplanted by the house brands? Do you know what I mean? Because back in the day, when I was growing up, there was actually full-on generic beer. You know what I'm talking about, where it's the white can with the black lettering? Do they still make generic beer, or has generic beer just been, has that been taken over by Safeway's own brand?
I haven't seen just generic beer in quite a while. I don't know, though, if they still make it or not.
Because Laura and I were talking about generic beer the other day, because we were talking about the... Because that guy who called up and asked if I was white trash on Tuesday... Like, you even need to ask that. I crumple up potato chips on everything I eat. There's your answer. So we got into this whole conversation about generic beer and about how that was my dad's drink of choice. Like, when Meister Brau... When there just wasn't enough money rolling in to buy Meister Brau, my dad would go to the store, come home with that... That case of beer with the white, you know, the white label, black lettering, just said beer on it.
That seriously existed at one point?
See, that's what I'm saying. There's the kids today. They don't know about generic beer. Laura had, well, she's the same age I am, pretty much, and she had never seen it in Utah. And I don't know whether that's because her parents didn't drink, because, you know, Mormon, or if they didn't sell generic beer in Utah because there just wasn't enough of a beer market there. But there was this period of time from, like, 1985 to, like, what would you say, like 1990, where you could buy generic products, and they were like full-on, completely and totally generic. And they said, like, it was just a white box. Like, I used to have a box of macaroni and cheese that was generic, and it was just a white box with black stencil lettering that said macaroni and cheese dinner.
Still
it looked like
that.
A joke, do they? Anyway, and so they had generic beer, and it just said beer on it. And we always had this debate growing up about what kind of beer was really inside the generic can. And I always heard that inside the generic beer can was Budweiser. And I don't know if that's true. I don't know if anybody ever, we were able to verify that or clarify what it was. But that was always the story that went around when I was a kid. Well, you know that generic beer is just Budweiser. Because it's well known that Budweiser also makes that, what is it, that Red Dog, that fake-ass microbrew that's just Budweiser. And so we were always trying to figure out what kind of generic beer, you know, what it really was. But I don't think we ever knew. So anyway. All right, we got, well, let's do this. We got Rob in Portland. He's a full-time listener. What's up with you?
Hey, Rick, they made it in Vancouver there at the Lucky Lager.
Oh, so it was, so, now Lucky, was that the beer that had that big cursive L on it?
Yep, and like, it had the little puzzles under the bottle lids.
Like that L that was on Laverne's boob on Laverne and Shirley? Okay, and so generic beer.
It was just Lucky in a plain can.
Lucky Lager, man.
Lucky.
I haven't heard of Lucky Lager in years. It's like
the little bottles with the puzzles underneath the cap. It'd have like an eye.
Yeah, and it was like a word puzzle that you would figure out had these. It was
and they
like
were only 10-ounce bottles. They weren't 12-ounce bottles.
And they were sort of stout, weren't they? Weren't they sort of shaped like the Mickey's bottles of old?
Yeah, you get a whole case for like $3.99, too.
Lucky Lager, man. There's all kinds of beers. It's a regional thing. There's beers in the Northwest that people in the rest of the country have never even heard of.
Yeah, before I moved out here, I thought everybody knew about Rainier.
Rainier's. I'm all about Rainier. Rainier, back in the day, can I just tell you this, that back in the day, Rainier had the best advertising. We lived through a sort of golden age of beer advertising in the 80s, where it was all Bud Light. Remember that? No. I meant a Bud Light. There was that, and then the Spuds McKenzie, the Bartles and James, and all those Rainier ads. That was what I was talking about there. This sort of, this hallowed age of alcohol sales. All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland. We got the calls on the way, plus Richard Nunn from the WB, Likas 101 in 45 minutes, followed by the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Before the end of the day, Rick Emerson's Office Confidential. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, also Olympia. You know, Olympia.
Those beers
there?
Still completely exist.
They don't make that anymore.
Oli was good stuff.
And it was Oli Gold. Was Oli Gold the same thing as regular Oli? I can't even remember.
I don't think so.
All I remember is that over my grandfather's diamond tufted leatherette bar at his house, he had one of those like flickering, it's like one of those Oli signs of that fake ass waterfall that shimmers. So it was the apple of his eye. It was the prized possession in my grandfather's home, was this plug in Oli sign.
Did you ever see the old Rainier mounts? That were, you know, because they did the thing where the bottles would run through the forest.
The bottles, right.
Right, and everything, and guys would go out and hunt them or whatever. That was the whole gag. They actually, in bars, used to have like a trophy mount.
The head was mounted.
Where it was just a long neck of the bottle and the cap.
I remember when I was
on a trophy mount.
When I was a kid, I was so fascinated by those. Because at the hydroplane races, which are kind of the highlight of the cultural year in Kennewick, Washington, there was a couple years where they would hire those dudes to walk around in the park. And when you're about 7 years old, a huge-ass beer bottle walking around with legs is like the coolest thing you've ever seen in your life. It's akin to seeing that Wienermobile that Oscar Mayer sends around the country.
Oh, yes. Justin has a shirt that says, I rode the Wienermobile on
it. Yeah, baby. I'm going to avoid the obvious crash. Here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
On 212 off of 205.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 227. I'm Tim Riley. A woman who was fired for refusing to wear pants as part of her work uniform will be paid $30,000 by her employer. Carol Grotz, a Pentecostal, was hired by Brinks in Peoria as a uniform messenger. She told the company that because of her religious beliefs, she couldn't wear pants, so she offered to buy culottes. Well, Brinks fired her, then hired her back, allowing her to wear culottes after she filed a religious discrimination complaint. And now, well, she's won. Overused cliches, wordy redundancies, and hyperbolic phrases, including the Bushism, make no mistake about it, were declared banished on Wednesday.
Wait, hold on. What was that last word there?
Hyperbolic?
I think hyperbolic actually is correct. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's a hyperbaric for a minute, which is that chamber Michael Jackson puts him into himself to stave off aging.
Anyway, other favorite utterances of President Bush, such as material breach, weapons of mass destruction, and homeland security, were the entire targets of New Year's Day lists, compiled by the public relations staff of Lake Superior State University. In a response to the catchphrase, must-see TV contributor Nate Heflin of Colorado wrote, must find remote, must change channel.
Can I tell you that must-see TV wore on me after like a day and a half of people talking about must-see TV? Because must-see TV is always applied to just the bottom of the barrel direct, to just the lowest common denominator, uninteresting crap. That's what must-see TV was always applied to, which is why I got burned out on that.
And another linguistic target was now more than ever.
Oh, that's awful. Now more than ever. And that was one of the ones that they hit in that in a world. That whole trailer, the now more than ever, especially after September 11th. Man, after 9/11 happened, everything was now more than ever. Or here's the other one that got really overused after the terrorist attacks was for the children, or variants of that, like for a better tomorrow for the children. You know, for all the reasons, blah, 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 blah. Something about
future.
Kids. For the future, which, of course, is another way of saying for the children. Here's another thing. Here's another thing from 2002 that just reached this critical mass. You could not go 15 seconds without somebody, always a celebrity, by the way, and always in an interview talking about the grand scope of their oeuvre, talking about, well, at the end of the day... At the end of the day was used by to begin a sentence by every celebrity that we heard interviewed between January and December of 2002, and it stopped being interesting after the second time I heard it.
How about family, home, security?
Family, home, security, and, never mind. I don't even want to dwell, because this is just a road to nowhere, because I just find myself, because... Then I just found myself pointing out all those phrases that they still use over on the sales side of the building here, like networking and being
solutions.
On the... And well, yeah, everything is a solution to business solutions, finance solutions, communication solutions, network solutions. Everything is that, and everything is also this. Everything is thinking outside the box. That's what everybody's doing over there. They're all, people, no restrictions. I want you to think outside the box. Where is this box? What box are they talking about?
I think they're referring to the cubicles in Cubicle Land.
All right.
Well, it's going to be mostly rainy this afternoon, and rainy even more than that. High temperatures in the mid-50s, and more rain tonight, and especially more rain tomorrow. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom.
Hot Talk.
Well, sometimes these things can be psychological.
No. Hot Talk 1080.
I am shocked. Shocked. Well, not that shocked. Hot
Talk
1080.
KOTK.
Call call now to join us. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Coming up, ostensibly, we've got Richard Nunn from the WB who will be drunkenly calling us for the second time today, but we haven't heard from him yet, so we'll see if that comes together. Rick Emerson's Office Confidential coming up. Like us about 35 minutes, followed by world famous Phil Hendry Show. In Southeast Portland. He's telling we've all had too much. We were talking about hams during the break, too. From the land of Skablu waters, hams, the beer refreshing hams.
Hey, Rick, I got two things.
What's up?
Yeah, hey, what's up? I got two things about beer for you. First, there's a really old beer for you. First, it was called Burgermeister, and then they changed it to Burgie. And that, I believe it was made either around here or maybe in the north. I'm not sure.
Burgermeister. Well, again, that's sort of a tag team with Meister Brau, which I always noticed like my dad's. That was Meister Brau was when my dad felt like he had a lot of money. Like if he got that raise at work or he got that promotion, we'd switch for a while from the generic beer to the Meister Brau.
Yeah. And the second thing you were talking about, where's the box? The thinking outside the box. Hams in the 70s had a 2.5 gallon aluminum keg that went inside a box. The box folded over and made a V. You set the keg on the table.
Oh,
or actually,
God.
It made a great truck console until you hit something.
Beer in a box. God damn, man.
It was an actual keg, but it had the box was a holder.
Oh, that's so. Just nothing. Nothing reeks class and sophistication like beer you can drink directly out of a cardboard box.
Yeah, man.
Did it come with like surgical tubing too, so you can just bong directly out of it? That's just a bad thing. You know, and here's the other thing that's trashy. You remember, like, I don't know if they still do it now, but Foster's Lager. Foster's Lager made these cans that were like
24 ounce.
Yeah, they were like half gallon cans.
Yeah.
At what point is it too much work to get up and go to the fridge for another regular size bottle of Foster's? You've got to have a can that's half a gallon.
Or you have to have a hard hat with the two deals on it with the hoses in it.
Oh, don't knock that. My grandfather had that. And he would use it. That's the other thing. And you all know what I'm talking about. That hat, sometimes it's a hard hat, sometimes it's a baseball cap, but it's got the holders on the side for the two beers with the straws that go into your mouth. And why would you possibly own that unless you are already so bereft of brain cells from drinking that you can probably not even open the goddamn can?
What did he do when he had to put his cheese head on?
I tried to avoid contact with my family. Growing up, and so I would just lock myself in my room and just, come out, Grandpa's got his drinking hat on. No, I know. And about 80% of my grandfather's wardrobe was related to beer in some fashion. It was either the hat that assisted you in drinking or the hat that, you know, was made out of the Schlitz, you know. And I don't think they make that anymore either. I don't think you can buy Schlitz anymore. It's all Pabst Blue Ribbon is the new Schlitz. The kids are all with the...
That's where it's at.
PBR ASAP.
Well, it's so cheap. I mean, some of the bars that I hang out at, you can buy it for $1.25, like a huge tall boy that's 20 ounces.
Well, the tall boy. Mm-hmm. And the Pabst Blue Ribbon, you can totally tell that a bellwether of how the economy is going is what people are drinking. Because we all start to get fired and downsized and laid off. Suddenly, it's not with the microbrew. It's all just, can I just get a bucket of beer? That's all it is. Just a big goddamn bucket full of beer that people want to drink. All right. Anyway, a guy noted, by the way, that you can still buy the generic beer at liquor stores, but it now has red lettering on the can, not black. Let's see, we got these thoughts for today. Rick, since Tim started getting free use of cars for a week, it seems like the models have been getting progressively more lesbian with each passing week. This is proven by the fact that this week he goes from one lesbian car, Subaru, to another, and that's completely true, by the way. Nobody loves Subarus more than lesbian couples, and they get those kind of like smallish four-wheel drive Subarus, that's a total lesbian car. Anyway, from one lesbian car Subaru to another, Volvo. Number two, random thought for today. You have stated more than once that your favorite president was Bill Clinton. Think about this. Your last two producers, and by the way, our upcoming intern, Jess, are so young they have never even been able to vote for Bill Clinton. P.S. F. Matt with anything you want.
This F. Matt is sponsored by Vancouver Pipe and Tobacco.
All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Office Confidential coming up in a few. We'll get Richard Nunn from the WB in just a second. Let's grab Mark. He's a full-time listener in North Portland. What's up?
What's up, Rick?
What do you got, man?
Hey, beer thing. Two things. One is my best friend went to U of O during the mid and late 80s, and, of course, money was tight. So when he went down there to party with him, and he'd go, let's go get... And I thought he was going to say Rainier, and he'd say, let's go get some Renier. that have made it sound more sophisticated.
Renier. These are the same people who say Target.
Yeah, and then the other thing, remember the Coors Light Party Ball?
Party Ball! Yeah! Don't they make doesn't MGD make one of those too? Isn't there a Miller Genuine Draft Party Ball that you can get as well?
I don't know, but the another thing is the slang term for the Foster's was the Foster's oil can.
Yeah, well, it was just huge. It was seriously yeah. it was like something the milkman would leave on your front porch in the morning.
Oh yeah.
The party ball. It's like those same guys that drank. You remember the big thing when Keystone came out, and it was like the can that tastes like a bottle, and it was that can that had that like the plastic lining on the inside. That was about the same time that ice beer came out. Ice beer and dry beer, which came out at about. With about 6 months of each other. Neither of which, like, I had this friend, my friend Brain, that just pounded down all those all the time. Couldn't even tell. Hey, guy can never spot those at a taste test. Not once. All right. Let's welcome to the show our friend and colleague, an authority on alcohol and body-destroying toxins of all sorts. It's Richard Nunn for the WB.
And you know what? I'm going to experience all that over the next 2 days because tomorrow's my birthday.
Excellent.
You know what I'm doing right now to pass time away with my friend from Nebraska?
I couldn't even begin to guess.
We just signed up online express bet. We're doing horse betting. We're watching. Where's this race right now? Golden Gate Fields. We're watching a race right now.
And so you're watching it online?
Yeah, watching it online and betting online.
Now, can you actually
bet? And drinking.
Because alcohol and gambling are always a good combination. Is this what you want to do? Before you ever gamble, what you want to do is dull your powers of judgment and reason. And then you want to make sure you have your Visa card in your hand while you do this.
You know what's funny is I just put my Visa card back in my wallet. We just gave them all the account information.
Excellent.
Anybody that's listening right now to the Rick Emerson Show, here's my account number. You might as well go ahead and rate me also.
And those are the people, those are exactly the people you want to trust with your sensitive personal and financial information are people who run online gambling services because their moral character is probably a beyond reproach.
I put my bank account information in there, and then I was like, you know, I'm not going to put my Social Security number. They don't need to know that.
Yeah, of course not. No. But here's my MasterCard. I thought you couldn't gamble online with real money. I thought that was illegal. I know nothing. But
I'm hoping it's legal.
I thought the government had cracked down on that. I thought you couldn't do online, like, actual real financial gambling anymore.
No, how much have you made since you've been here? Yeah, my friend from out of town's made about $600 since he's been here, betting on football games and what have you.
Well, damn, man, what do we have this job for? Why aren't we just at Matt's house with DSL?
I got the DSL now through VoiceStream, and so I'm like, I'm hooked up at home. I'm just grooving on it.
Excellent.
I'm getting my email from work because I'm not working today or tomorrow because tomorrow's my birthday. And happy birthday, Richard.
Yeah, I was going to ask how old
you're
really.
Happy birthday, Richard.
How old are you going to be?
29.
29. Are you actually?
No.
No. How old are you going to be?
I'm going to...
34.
34, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I never would have guessed you were 34. You seem younger than that.
Well, it's because I'm an idiot.
Well, the gambling and alcohol clearly helped to give you a youthful demeanor. There's no question about that.
I'm preserving myself from the inside out.
Let me ask you this. Yeah, just embalming yourself beforehand. Did it wig you out when you turned 30? When you turned 30, did you go mental about it?
No, I could have easily gone mental when I turned 30. My wife threw a surprise birthday. It's the only one I've ever had. And it was just, it was a huge party. We rock and rolled all night long. And I figured, you know what, if I can still do this at 30, then I can still do it forever.
Because I'm less than 90 days away now from being 30. Because I was able to sort of, as long as it was 2002, I was able to sort of put it in the mental section of my brain that said, next year. It was like, when are you turning, I'm going to be 30 next year. But now it's not next year, it's like this year. And it's not even later this year. It's like less than, I mean, it's like 84 days away.
Yeah, less than 3 months.
Until I'm going to be 30. And so I feel like I got to cram as much immature, foolish, irresponsible, immoral, and juvenile behavior as I possibly can into like the next 2.5 months because I feel like it's my last shot to really be boorish and crass.
Well, the good thing about turning 30 is that it's such a milestone, and most of your peers are going to be within that same age that even your wife will let you get away with this or your girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Is on your 30th birthday, what do you want? You simply say a threesome.
And so I can, so you can just, I can cash that in.
And yeah, it's your 30th birthday. There should be no, you know, discrepancies whatsoever.
And it's a one time, and I can always threaten suicide otherwise. I can just say, no, I just don't feel like life is worth living. Where's my Seekanol?
Either I get a threesome or I'm slicing my wrist vertical.
Excellent. Well, just speaking of suicide, this is a pretty good day for it because it's just gloomy and hideous outside.
It is, but you know, you guys were bagging on Mississippi State University earlier, so yeah. I don't know if I want to give you my forecast.
What, did you go to Mississippi State?
Yeah, that's where I got my master's.
I mean, there were plumbing there?
Yes.
Mississippi State, like, I didn't even think that they had a building more than... I thought everything there was, like, a story and a half high. I didn't know they had anything there.
Oh, it's a fantastic... Actually, we were in the second tallest building. Oh, listen, can you hear it? Yeah, it's post time. Yeah, we were in the second tallest building on campus.
Hold on.
We were in a three-story.
Do you have money on this race starting now?
No, we don't have any money on this race right now. We just got all the account information signed up, and so they should be emailing me my account verification so I can bet.
Excellent.
We have five more races to go.
So now, now tomorrow's Friday, but we got to check with you tomorrow so you can give us the scoop on if you made any money.
Okay.
All right. So so the weather's going to stay crappy probably.
The weather, yeah, it doesn't look good. I mean, we keep getting these spots of sunshine, which are practically unpredicted. I've never seen... any of the models that have even shown that we would have the sun that we did have the last couple of days.
All right.
You know, that one full day. But, yeah, the rest of the time just looks rainy and crappy. It even gets worse as we head into tonight.
So to recap, everybody should drink a lot and gamble online. Ask for a threesome for your 30th birthday, and it's going to be crap all day.
There you go.
All right, we'll check with you tomorrow, man.
I'll call you tomorrow.
There you go. Richard Nuff for the WB. Here's your office confidential.
Yeah.
I hate this job.
Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day, filling out useless forms and listening to eight different bosses drone on about mission statements.
All right, it's Rick Emerson's Office Confidential, your chance to anonymously complain about your coworker's boss or company. Rick, I work for a big corporation whose name starts with Q. We all know who hosed our company, so we didn't need to go over that again. After the CEO of our company got canned, he got to stay on at $5 million a year to consult. Tell me, if I screwed up my job, I guarantee you they won't pay my ass to stay around and tell them how I screwed it up. In the past year and a half, I've seen all my friends get laid off and my workload tripled. Also, I had to take a huge cut in pay. Every day I do my job and pray that my company stays afloat. Sometimes I've worked off the clock. At the same time, every radio and news program hammers the company I work for, while the bastards who did the damage are off playing golf in the Bahamas. It's to the point where I refuse to wear any of the uniform that has my company logo on it. And what did we get for a Christmas bonus? A $25 gift certificate, good to buy a shirt or hat with the company logo on it. So many times I've stopped and helped folks change their tire or jumpstart their car, hoping some good stuff comes back, even though I work for a bunch of dirty SOBs. There are some people who work above me that I don't even know what they do all day. I have a heavy workload, and they say they won't hire any more folks unless I get my overtime down. What the hell is that? The next a-hole I hear say that they want to make government run more like business, I'll scream. Signed, Anonymous.
Like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Good one.
Oh, that's terrific.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Here is Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250. Tonight we got Lycus coming about 15 with Lycus 101, followed by the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got this. Rick, speaking of annoying word usage, here's something that annoys me. Post-game interviews with athletes. What they always do now is say the full word of the ball of their particular sport. Instead of, we tried to push the ball up the court, it's, we really tried to put the basketball up the court. It's as though the viewers are so stupid that if the type of ball isn't specified, they might get confused and think a football player is suddenly throwing around a baseball. You've seen NASCAR people do this too. Announcer, probably named Rusty, says, Dale Jarrett leads the pack in the final trip around the racetrack. And he says, NASCAR viewer probably named Mike says, what a racetrack. I thought they were going around a dog track all day. There you go. That's completely true. All right. Oh, do we have the, I want to get to the Glengarry Glen Ross limerick. Do we have the limerick bed? We bust out the limericks. We got to do this. I have all this most frequently used phrase on this show. I didn't even get a chance to tell you about the goddamn Irish hippies. Oh, God. I have this Irish hippie jambalaya story that I just... There's just no time. We'll get to it at some point. All right, we got this. Rick, would like to share the fact that I just got the new Glengarry Glen Ross DVD for Christmas. Damn, do I miss Jack Lemmon. And Pacino was better than De Niro any old day of the week. Anyway, in honor of the movie, I decided to compose a limerick. Ode to Glengarry Glen Ross. To Glengarry Glen Ross, we all strive. It has meaning for each of our lives. When you can't make a sale, go get drunk or risk jail. And F Matt with a set of steak knives.
This F Matt is sponsored by Vancouver Pipe and Tobacco.
There you go. Sincerely, Joe from Boring. All right, we got more on the way, including Like Us 101, the world famous Phil Henry Show, and more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 90 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Now look, I know you want...
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Make a note of it. We got Likas coming up about 8 minutes from now, followed by the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It should be noted that not this hour, nor the noon hour, but the 1 o'clock hour was brought to you by Michael Hacker of Michael Hacker Photography. He specializes in...
Just out of curiosity, is that written up on the board that reminds you of all the live spots you're supposed to do?
I don't know. It's way over there. I can't read it.
Yeah, okay. So since I know that it is because I wrote it, and I'm just curious if maybe at any point during the 1 o'clock hour that I chime in and say, hey, Rick, did you do the Michael Hacker? Don't forget to.
I don't have access to that information.
I've probably got that on tape if you want to hear it again.
No, I don't.
So why didn't that happen at 1 o'clock?
There's nothing I can... it was Clyde's fault.
Clyde's fault.
It was Clyde.
I can see that somehow.
It's on the tape right next to Clyde screaming that we shoot missionaries. It brought to you by Michael Hacker Photography. Wedding photography with style and elegance done your way. For more information on Michael Hacker Photography, check out michaelhacker.com or call him at 503-816-4944. This really quickly, Brian, subject line, generic beer. Rick, they still make generic beer. You can find it mainly in fine grocery stores of small towns in Oregon like your Fours Shopping Carts. Such as beer, brand beer. See, that's what I'm talking about. I thought it was supplanted by, like, the Safeway Select brand or whatever. The only thing that's changed with that beer is, like I said, that the beer label is now red, not black. By the way, any shopping experience where you go to the store and it has with the apostrophe is bad. Peyton, pack, shopping cart. And do you all have that same place here with the wax pencils where you got to write your own prices on stuff? Did you ever have that store? Never mind. No time. All right. We got Likas coming up next. The world famous Phil Henry Show for that tomorrow. Join us. We'll find out. I guess Richard Nunn is up $30 so far in his online drunken gambling. Has he got 30 bucks ahead?
Yeah, 30 bucks.
All right. So we'll find out what that is tomorrow. We'll also talk more about Portland wrestling tomorrow.
And also be on Fox 12 News tomorrow.
Tomorrow from 5 to 9 a.m. Is that right?
5 a.m. to 9 a.m.
tomorrow. Our very own Sarah Dillon doing the helicopter traffic. So you want to watch that. We want to thank Jolie from the front desk, CNN Radio's Jim Roop, Richard Nunn, Morton Klein, Pat Buchanan, Christopher McCowan, Jess the new intern, Mark Marshall for the top five, Tom Arnold, Hugh Grant, and all of that. Rick Emerson Show is produced by Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk to 80 KOTK. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley, executive producer Matthew Peterson. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow in 21 hours. Don't go anywhere. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Tom Likas got Likas 101 next, and the world famous Phil Henry Show. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Thank you.